Today's episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule that delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So, when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome inside the Coppola Studios. We've got our last bottle of Prosecco Rosé. We're going to need to make a trip to the store.
Go to the stove.
It's episode 259 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. We are together once again. This is becoming... We don't hardly do remote shows anymore. So awesome.
You mean from our house?
Yeah. From our house.
Yeah, we'll probably do more in the summer.
Yeah, because things will get crazy. But
yeah, but now,
right now.
Well, we have this beautiful studio.
We do.
We've had lots of wonderful guests.
We have. We've had lots of really good guests lately.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to one, our most recent guest, in a little bit. And then we've got another guest coming up today. We'll give you all those details in just a little bit.
Yeah, you I love when you talk like that. You know, it's going to be fun. Everybody has that voice they make when they're talking about something that's kind of a little bit touchy sometimes.
That's why.
That's Emily's
you go
voice.
Into baby voice mode.
I do?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? Really? Baby voice?
You definitely have baby voice.
It's so funny.
You go into baby voice for sure.
Like when I'm talking about something that
I don't know. I don't know. Was
that
baby voice?
Was that your impersonation?
That was. I don't know what language I was speaking.
But... I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a baby voice.
That's not it, by the way. Did I introduce us in case people are tuning in for the first time to this well-oiled production known as The Mom Game? I'm Emily Jones. She's Julie Dobbs. I think I did.
I think you did too.
Introduction. Anyway, yeah, big show on tap. I am fresh off of jury duty.
Yes.
Wow.
I know, and I don't know any details yet because
we are saving them.
Yes. I know you were there for a long time.
A long
time. Sounds miserable.
I know, and you know what? Kudos to people who get picked for a jury and like do that shit. Like. And kudos to the people that, you know, are a part of our legal system.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's been a long time since I got called for jury duty. And so last couple times I've been, it's been like you show up, they like ask you some questions and then
they let you go.
Yeah. We'll see you later. Thanks for coming out and serving, doing your civic duty. And I'm like, well, of course, you're welcome. Well, not the case this time. So I go, I get there at 8:30. I can't find a place to park. It specifically says on the jury summons, do not park with the meters because you're not going to be able to get more time.
Right.
I'm like, it'd be fine. So I kind of panic park at the meters, pay for 2 hours. That's the max. And then I get to the building, the Criminal Justice Center building. And there's a line out the door to get in through security. So I'm like, well, I'm already late. I'm supposed to be here at 8:30 and it's like 8:40 by this point. And it's going to take me at least 15, 20 minutes to get in through the door. Well, I'm like, but all these people, we're all here for the same thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, I go up and we finally get like assigned to the court because mine wasn't going to the central jury room, which I guess that's what I'd done previously. I was going to some court. I don't remember the number. And so then they call your name. They assign you a number. I was Jackie Robinson, 42. Nice. And then they file you in and then the judge speaks for a while, like basically educating you on this is what you are supposed to do as a juror. And then the prosecution has a chance to ask questions of the audience, the voir dire, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And so there's like probably close to 80 people. And so anyway, so the judge does his stuff. So funny. So during that time, people are like, they're like, do you have travel plans? Is there, you know, whatever? If so, raise your hand. And so you've got to get through everyone who raises their hand amongst 80 people. And then they ask you to stand up. And it's like, tell us what your you have to tell what your travel plans are.
Travel, like leaving
like if
town?
You're, like if you're traveling, because this trial was going to last like a week.
Oh, so you wouldn't be able to. If
right.
You get
and so they he full on said, like, I cannot promise this doesn't mean you'll get selected, but we're going to try to be mindful and take note of it. So everybody's going through like, I have this or this, or I'm a, you know, I need to care for my child. I'm a single parent, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so this one guy.
Did you raise your hand for that part?
I did not, because I really don't. I don't have
more
any
like,
travel.
I have to shoot the mom game tomorrow.
I didn't feel like the mom game was appropriate for me to pull
Julie's
out.
Gonna kick my ass.
Yeah, and be like, I got to shoot the mom game tomorrow, so I can't do jury duty. So anyway, this guy stands up, and I almost died laughing. He was like, "I have to travel. I'm traveling to the biggest sporting event in the country," and I was like, "What is coming up? Like, it's a Kentucky Derby this weekend? Like, what? Super Bowl already passed? Like, what are we talking about?" And the judge was like, really? He's going Baton Rouge. He's going to Baton Rouge for the biggest sporting event in the world or America. I can't remember. He's like, yes, I've got to set up for this, blah, blah, blah. The biggest sporting event in the universe. I don't know. And he was like, really? So what sporting event is this? And it's some bowling thing. So there must be some really big bowling thing going on in Baton Rouge. But he was so proud of it. And I thought, well, good for him.
Was he bowling or just a fan?
I don't know, okay. But he's part of the bowling event.
Okay.
Anyway.
Did you get his auto?
I did not get his auto. So anyway, they go through this whole process. Judge does his thing. Prosecution does their thing. And they're asking like, because this was a pretty serious case. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't like, you know, and they're asking like very questions that could be very personal, like aggravated stuff. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is, wow. And people are like, because you're under oath, you're supposed to answer. It's just, it was crazy. Anyway, so then the judge is like, I got a hard out at noon. We'll break for lunch. And I'm like, oh my God, we're already going to be here until lunch. Okay. And then so we break for lunch. Have to be back like an hour and 20 minutes later. I walk to my car. Of course, I have a fucking ticket. So I'm like, dang it. So anyway, I get the ticket. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get a salad, come back. And then I'm thinking, okay, now all we have left is the defense, right? So I'm like, this can't be more than 2 hours.
Yeah.
Go to the parking meter again. Against the instructions on the jury summons. So anyway, go to do that. Julie, in this process from the defense, on my way to lunch, one of the defense attorneys saw me in the hall and was like, are you Emily from the Rangers? And I was like, yeah. And we know about my social anxiety. Like, I'm thinking, like, there's no way anyone, this is not a Rangers crowd. Like, no one, I didn't think anybody was going to, this didn't seem like a big Rangers.
And it was one of the defense attorneys.
It was one of the defense attorneys. So then we get to the, after lunch, the defense part, and they're asking questions. It gets to juror number 42. So then he asked me a question that was honestly kind of complicated because it's about, like, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt and clear and convincing evidence. And they had this chart. And I'm like, oh my God, you're on the spot and you have to stand up and everybody's looking at you. So then he asked me the question. And then his partner, like, because I think, okay, I'm clear. I answered my question. I'm down. And then his partner was like, and they're like, so what's the burden of proof on the Rangers wins this season front of everyone?
Oh no.
I wanted to vomit on myself. I never, because I'm like, no one knows. No one. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know this. Then everyone was. Some people were like, "Huh," and I was like, "Huh, wish I knew." And sat back down. I was like,
"They were probably so proud of that."
I have never wanted to die so bad in my life.
Really?
I wanted to. I was like, "Oh my God! Oh my God! I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed for myself. I'm so embarrassed."
Oh, they're trying to lighten the mood.
They were. But also too, I was like, is that appropriate?
Right.
Like,
what's the burden of proof on the Rangers?
Which it was because I had a burden of, or maybe they said clear and convincing. I don't know. Whatever. I wanted to crawl in the hole.
They probably loved that.
And then I thought to myself, well, I could use this to my advantage, because if I get picked for this jury, I can be like, Your Honor, obviously the defense knows who I am. And what if I side against them and they retaliate against me?
Uh-huh.
Which is not going to happen. But I was like,
Well, you could have said that you have to go to spring training.
Well, I could have, but that would be a lie.
Oh.
I don't have to go to
spring
training.
Then you could have made up a reason to go.
But no, you can't lie under oath.
I know, but then if you went, you wouldn't have lied.
Well, just plan a trip to Arizona next week or this week. Anyway, all said and done, I did not get picked for the jury, but
that's
I was
so
there
funny.
From 8:30 in the morning until 5 o'clock. And I have mad respect for the people who are charged with leading our, you know, making sure our justice system, the wheels continue to move. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's government and we'll talk a lot government later. But, you know, that judge trying to educate us and educating us, the prosecution, educating us, defense, like you learn about just that one day, you do learn about stuff that you really didn't know about being
yeah.
a part of the process. So kudos to those, how many ever, 13 jury members that got selected. But praise Jesus, it was me.
I'm surprised that you didn't.
Didn't get picked?
Yeah. Like, because when they do know that you're kind of like, I don't know.
I just try to be pretty quiet.
Right. But they knew who you were kind of thing. I don't know that when you stand out a little bit from the crowd, I feel like that kind of helps your chances
oh my
of
gosh,
being
but
picked.
But there was people who would, I mean, if they wanted to, like.
They really wanted to
they
do
wanted,
it.
No, but they wanted to pipe up and answer questions and, you know, all that. I was
trying to be a juror.
Like,
yeah.
I was trying not to. Also learned that the guy sitting in front of me after he got woken up because he had fallen asleep and they called on him and he was asleep, bless his heart. And then he revealed that he thought that Bigfoot was real. And I was like, okay, here we go.
How did that
there
happen?
Was analogy. The defense used an analogy about Bigfoot. I can't remember the analogy, but they're like, okay, you know, kind of like throwing out there to the crowd. Okay, who believes Bigfoot's real? And like nobody. And then this one guy's like, hey,
can you prove that he's not?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo.
Right.
So anyway, it was an interesting experience. I'm not sure. I feel like I've had like 3 jury summons in the last, like, I feel like a lot.
Really? I haven't in a while, but I did get picked to the jury once when I was pregnant. That's why I feel like I stood out because I was pregnant. And so they were like, oh, let's have a pregnant woman's perspective.
Oh.
I don't know. And it was only like a day or two,
yeah.
maybe 2 days.
Yeah, this was going to last like almost all week.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this sounds
yeah.
But anyway.
It is a whole, so, it's interesting thing.
It's very interesting.
Held captive somewhere with strangers.
I know. Mike, when I got home, was like, did you go grab lunch with some of your fellow jurors? And I was like, no, I didn't.
Did you make any new friends?
I didn't make any new friends. I literally didn't say a word to anyone. Like,
I'm
only
the same
spoke.
In those situations.
Oh my God. I just am like, I just don't look at me.
Right.
Don't look at I'm sure everyone else feels the same way.
Yeah. No,
like, it's not because whatever. No, I'm just like, she need to get through this process.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad you survived.
What's going on with you? Because we do have, for those of you who freaked out when we had John McQueenie, the Texas House of Representatives, Texas, whatever, last week about the school voucher stuff, we have a woman named Lynn Davenport who was recommended to us. Come on. She's coming on the show a little bit later. And also, too, for those of you on social media.
Here it is.
That didn't, you just watched one clip and then you start being like, I can't believe like you did this. I can't believe you did that. Watch the whole effing episode. We actually asked some really good questions and we don't pretend to know, like, think that we know what we're talking about as far as politics are concerned. That's why we have people on there to ask them questions from a dumb person's perspective to try to help everybody out. So, yeah, listen to the, if you're bitching on social media and you didn't listen to the whole interview, suck it. That's all I'm going to say.
Emily, that was a really thought out apology.
No, I'm not apologizing for shit.
I know.
I'm not apologizing for shit. We had a guest on. We asked him questions.
That was my joke.
People, not funny. People freaked out on social media because they watched one effing clip. Watch the whole damn interview. And then if you want a bitch, get after it. Come at me. But come on, man. Anyway, Sports Courts brought to us by our friends at Tylock, George, I Care, and Rev Entertainment.
And when you create your own show, you can do shit like this. This is why we created this
show.
But
it's like, what did you want us to do? You want us to moderate a fucking debate?
Right.
We don't know what we're talking about.
This is the mom game, and we drink wine, and we have wine sponsors, and we answer to nobody. We are not on a news network.
No, we are not obligated to... Think any reputable news organization is going
right.
to, except for Fox 4. They do love us on More 27. Love you. But they're not looking to us to be like,
no, there's people who do that for a living. We left the place where we have to be all buttoned up and not
serious.
We did this because we want to be us.
I know.
And we felt like having somebody on that we had a connection to that we could have on. We can't just have on anybody in the world. Like, and we also aren't trying to, like you said,
push an agenda. I mean, look at us. Do you think we're pushing any agendas?
How would I even know what agenda to push?
No, like, we don't even know what fucking agendas are.
We're just trying to learn.
The
man, like, he's in a place of, he's a state representative. Like,
I know. Who cares? We're done talking about it. We're going to have Lynn Davenport on later, and she's knows her shit when it comes to this. She's on the other side of the school voucher thing. anyway, so.
I thought you knew us.
Yeah, that's also hurtful.
I thought you knew us.
I did too.
I thought we had something.
I did too. I thought you knew I was a political idiot.
Attack us about politics. You know who we are.
Agenda. Like, we have an agenda.
I commented on some because I was trying to comment.
You
told me not to.
You were going
down. But, like, I had to. And I wasn't. I was just trying to, like, have, you know, very matter of fact responses. And I did say to one person, I was like, I mean, come on. Our last post is about feet pics. Like, you can't get that. We're not pushing an agenda. Like, come on.
Big feet agenda. That's what we're pushing. Big feet.
Jeez Louise.
Okay. Seriously, we do need to get to it. Or we're going to go on for $800.
For politics.
Okay. Sports Courts brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care and Rev Entertainment.
Oh. Well, unfortunately for me, the last week, I could read everything really well on social media. And that's thanks to our friends over at Tylock George Eye Care, because they fixed my eyeballs, both of them, as well as Emily's. And now we can both see clearly, and we were able to get rid of our glasses. And in my case, all kinds of prescription sunglasses I had to wear every single time I wanted to drive during the sun because I could not see from distance without them. And they have something for you, whether you have had LASIK already and maybe you think you can't have another surgery, or you haven't had LASIK yet and you were like me and you were just trying to fight through it because you didn't think that it was a priority and you didn't want to spend the money on it and take the time and energy to figure it out. Just give them a call. They've got something for you. Head to their website, tylock.com/TMG, or give them a call. Say that the Mom Game sent you, and they will hook it up. There are all kinds of options for you, including custom lens replacement or Tylock. And you can just schedule that free consultation. They'll have a look and tell you what they can do to help you out. Mention the Mom Game for that special discount. They also offer 24 months interest-free financing with approved credit. They're great people. We've had the doctors on here on the Mom Game, and you will be in good hands with Tylock George Eye Care.
And speaking of sports, college baseball is back at Globe Life Field. It's been back for the last couple of weeks. Actually, Hattie made it out to Globe Life Field with her friend Millie, and they watched the Red Raiders play. I'm sorry. No, they didn't. They watched the Horned Frogs play. The Red Raiders aren't there, which we need to talk about that. We need to get the Red Raiders here. But yeah, they went and watched the Horned Frogs play. Her friend Lane Sarlos is the daughter of the head coach, Kirk Sarlos. And Kirk and Kristen are good friends of ours. And Lane is adorable. And she went with her friend Millie. But anyway, I don't know why I made that correlation, but whatever. They went and watched some college baseball out at Globe Life Field. And the action continues this weekend with the Amegy Bank College Baseball Series presented by Kubota. February 28th through March 2nd, they've got Auburn, Ohio State, Baylor, and Oregon State. So a little something for everyone. Lots of SEC and Big Ten folks here in the Metroplex. So head on out to see those teams in action. Plus, of course, Baylor. Always easy to make that 90-minute trek up from Waco. So even if you just want to take in a good activity for, you know, keeping the kids occupied, you're not outdoors. Yeah. Weather don't affect you. Rain. Shine, wind, hail, freezing temperatures.
Watch some good baseball.
Watch some good baseball.
Pumped up for baseball season.
Hear those metal bats smacking those balls. It sounded really not good.
You knew before you said it.
I did, but I couldn't stop
myself.
You
said it anyways.
I did. So, Amegy Bank College Baseball Series presented by Kubota, February 28th through March 2nd, Auburn, Ohio State, Baylor, Oregon State. To get more information, head to globelifefield.com/collegebaseball. Head on out and tell them the Mom Game told you about it.
So not too much going on in sports.
Yeah, it's a little slow sportsy
these days. And I know there's going to be a big old Luka game that
yes.
has happened already that we don't want to, can't spend too much time on. But I do feel for some of the Mavs players that are new to Dallas and in a really tough spot, especially like that Max Christie, some of the young guys.
He's awesome.
Yeah. And some of these guys, I can't imagine being in the middle of that trade when you're young, you're getting your career started, you're trying to find your footing in the league and all of that. And I think this will, I don't think that the being upset with Nico and pissed that Luka's not a Mav anymore and the feeling that you want to vomit seeing him in another uniform, I don't think that's going to die down anytime soon. But I think that people will start to hopefully rally around this Mavericks team, especially if they start winning and all that and supporting some of these new guys.
Yeah,
that's going to get better.
They're playing well.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's without like, that's what they're decimated by injuries.
Right.
But they're playing well. Right. I mean, this is going into the Lakers game. We tape on Tuesday, which happens tonight. But they've won like 5 of 7
yeah.
like, since the trade,
and
I think.
Kyrie's been really good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I say this giving sports fans too much credit, like, because they can be irrational. But it's like, surely you're logical enough to understand that, like, this isn't Max Christie or Anthony Davis's fault. It's also not Anthony Davis's fault that he got hurt, although it does seem to happen a lot. Whatever. But, like, surely you, I mean, but I guess there's people who, like, are so pissed at the Mavs that they're like, I'm done. Like, I heard this this morning on the radio somewhere that were like, that they're like now Lakers fans. They like LeBron and they love Luka. And they're like, well, peace out, Mavs. Which I guess when players that I've been close with and cared about, that like when they went to another team, I cheered for their success.
Yeah.
But I never cheered for any other team over the Rangers.
Right.
I don't know if I could ever do that.
A little bit more of a unique situation, true, admittedly,
true.
Right?
Right.
Like working for the team and being so close with
very
the team.
Very true. Very true. Very true.
But I'm not, and I true. Haven't either.
Yeah.
So I think if you're really passionate about a team and you have been your whole life, it's kind of hard to just flip-flop like that.
Yeah.
It might be easier, like I think we said on the show, or maybe I was talking with Kelly at home, like if it would have been the Bucks and like or someone like that,
right.
Like, oh, I could go for them. Like I could root for Giannis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that team. But the Lakers, no, like just no. And they don't give a shit if you root for them or not. Like
no.
They don't need you. They don't need more fans. They don't care.
And the thing that's so crazy to me is that we're still, and I guess I love the Mavs. Like I worked for them for a short period of time, whatever. But I mean, and I was sad. I didn't think it made sense for them to trade Luka, but like it hasn't like affected me on a very deep level. There are so many people that this has affected on a very, very deep level.
Yeah.
To whereas we're almost, you know, we're 20 some odd days, 3.5-4 weeks since the trade, and people are still just, and it's not just the fan base. I mean, it's still being talked about nationally and, you know, whatever. It's a crazy ass situation, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so now a lot of our attention is getting turned to, you know, NBA, college basketball. March Madness is, you know, right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
The Stars.
Yeah, the Stars are playing well.
They're killing it.
They've been winning a lot lately.
Yeah.
I think they're second in the division right now, and they've won quite a few games as of late, won a few in a row. And they're going to have a good stretch of home games, I think, here coming up because they've been on the road a lot. So good to go out and support the team.
So I need to get my Victory Plus app in line. So I have it on my phone. But mm-hmm. for a while, you couldn't download the app on Samsung TVs.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can.
That's
Henry
good.
And I tried to watch on the TV. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't. I couldn't get. It just sent me down a rabbit hole. And I was like, I'm going to try this another day.
Yeah.
So I need to get it squared away on the TV. I've got it set up on the phone, but I need to get it squared away on the TV.
Yeah. So they
because they weren't doing it. They weren't allowing you to download the app on the Samsung TV.
I remember
TV.
Hearing that.
You had to like cast it or whatever.
Which is just kind of hard. And then and you. It's
well, no, because then you can't like do anything
right.
except for have the game on from your phone.
I don't like things commandeering my phone.
Right. Because then if you try to swipe out of it or go to your text messages, then your text messages end up on the TV and the
no one wants that.
No one wants that.
Then all of our secret affairs will be
so
shown.
Many secrets that we share, Julie.
Yeah, you should. This is the time. Like this is the playoff push and then it's going to be the playoffs. So it's a really fun time to hop on board with the Stars. I think the guys they traded for
Fitting right in, and then you've got Jamie Benn leading the way, playing well. Jake Ottinger coming off that Four Nations face-off thing where he got to play in net for Team USA. He's doing well. He's just, I mean, good guys, good people.
Good organization.
Good organization, and they're not trading away their superstars.
Ooh, sick burn.
Overnight.
Sick
burn. So get behind them, and we will too. That's a pact. Remember we would, like, made the pact to get on board with the Mavs, and they did all this shit. So now that's given us some leeway.
Let's go.
Let's get on board the Stars train in college hoops. You're more into that than me.
Yeah. My Red Raiders lost to Houston last night at home, but they're in the top 10 right now.
That's great.
They're really good. But they were without two of their two best players last night, and they only lost by 8 to Houston, who's like number 4.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, I'll get real into it here when the
March Madness coming
happens.
Up.
Yeah. Okay, let's do a little feed stuff. What's on your feed? Brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media.
Yes, we love working with them over at Audrey Dolan's Media. I love how they can kind of meet you at where you're at and what you need when it comes to your marketing, your social media goals. They can help you with all kinds of different things if you're a small business and you just want to be able to focus on that business, and you obviously started that business for a reason. You're good at something, and that might not be the social media, the branding aspect of it. That is where they come in, and they run this thing like a well-oiled machine. And some of those things that they can help with are influencer management, brand management, monetization management, collaboration management, influencer campaigns, content creation and photography, social media management, and website design. I'm so excited, highly anticipating our new Mom Game website that is under construction right now by Audrey Dolan's of Audrey Dolan's Media. And just go check them out, audreydolans.com, I do believe.
Yes, it is. And yeah. I already lost my marbles about the social media stuff that's been on our feed of late, so I thought I'd bring something else to the table. According to our fearless producer, Jasmine, Instagram is testing a dislike button. Actually, she's not the source. Mashable.com is the source.
I did see this.
They claim it's a private downvote to signal that you don't like something, and it's targeted at comments, not people's posts. So no one will see that you disliked it. And the downvotes, I love that it's called downvotes. Mm-hmm. The downvotes won't be counted and showed publicly like on YouTube. Instead, downvoted comments would be pushed to the bottom or hidden altogether. An exec says this is a test. Eventually, you may integrate this signal into comments ranking to de-emphasize disliked comments.
It's like Reddit. Like Reddit.
See, I've never been on Reddit.
Downvotes, good.
I've never been on Reddit.
Stay off of it.
Our hope is that this might help make comments more friendly on Instagram.
Huh.
I don't know. I've never been on Reddit. I only know the dislike button. I've never heard of the downvote. So does it literally mean what it says? Like it's voting to move it down?
Yeah. And if something has a lot of downvotes, then it gets like hidden. And I guess it is good in a way because sometimes you'll just have like the random person that's like, women shouldn't be talking about sports. And like then the normal people will downvote it and then you don't see it anymore. So in that regard, it's good.
What is Reddit?
Reddit, it's just like an internet chat site. You can chat about anything and everything.
Sounds awful.
And actually, it has some good benefits. Now, it's interesting because people chat about everything. And I feel like, once again, people probably gravitate more towards communicating on social media than real life. And Reddit is one way. Like, I see Reddit a lot, you know, because I
mean, I've seen it and I've heard of it. I just didn't know exactly what it was. Honestly, I've never been on Reddit. Like, it's an app, I would guess, right?
It's a website. Yeah.
But
you can have an app. Yeah.
You can. Okay.
Yeah. And so, like, being on the ticket, there's a big ticket Reddit, and then there was like there's a dumb zone Reddit, you know. Like
is it kind of like a fan page, like a page, like are you part of the ticket Reddit community, or is it just a subject?
Yeah. Well, there's like a page ticket Reddit, so it's like r-ticket or whatever.
Okay.
And then it's got like thousands of people that will talk about every single day everything that happens on the ticket, and so that's why I initially joined it. But now, like, if I go pop on there, I'll see everything that's on Reddit, and there's interesting stuff. It'll be like, am I an asshole if, and it's like about relationships or like it, a lot of these things on Reddit are like husbands talking about their marriage.
Okay.
And I'm sure there's wives talking about their marriage too, but it's like talking about like if my wife does this, or like our sex life, it's like crazy. The people think they're talking about this stuff with strangers. That's what Reddit is. It's like, is it, should I be alarmed if my wife never wants to have sex with me?
Oh, no.
But I caught her.
No.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm not even. Yeah.
So we're just crowdsourcing this shit.
Yes.
Like, how about get a good friend? Like, everybody needs a friend, at least one.
Yes.
That you can talk to. Flip these things off.
Or how about this?
Let's not ask Reddit.
How about this? Talk to your wife.
Wow.
Hmm.
Groundbreaking.
Are you okay, honey?
Groundbreaking. This seems so. And no one's like, I'm Emily Jones McCoy from the Rangers. It's like user 348215-4.
And it's like, oh, bro, I'm feeling the same thing, bro. Oh, it's like crazy. So yeah, that's kind of what
I'm so thankful I've never gotten on Reddit, and I'm not going to. Like, I'm almost broken from Twitter because, like, I will not get on Twitter unless somebody sends me a link to a tweet.
Yeah.
And then I get on it, and then I'll go clear my bubbles, my notifications.
Yeah.
But I don't get on Twitter at all anymore.
It's a good time to not be on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, it's probably a good time to be on, not to be on all social media. But, I mean, some are worse, more toxic than others. Sounds like Reddit is a real
shit show. No, I will say it's like I've crowdsourced a couple things, like, you know, video games for kids. Like,
Really?
If you have a kid that is mine and is like a specific whatever brain, and then you're like, is this good for this type of kid?
So that is something to crowdsource.
And then it's like all these parents that are like, well, yes, I have an ADHD son, and this specific video game is terrible for him. Okay. This one's good for him, you know. So things like that, because you might not have that specific friend in your life.
Sure, great.
So
point.
Things like that are good, but like, I think
it, like the sex life with your spouse, probably
that stuff's
not.
Weird.
Let's not crowdsource that.
That stuff's weird.
Yeah, I agree.
So, anyways, that's where all this stuff weirds me out. And I also think disliking people's comments and posts and
Instagram has tried to be. And that's why I think they put it where it's not on your post. It would only be available on a comment. And that's to get the negative comments down. So, I mean, maybe is that a good thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I care enough. I'm not on social media enough to really care about anything that social media does.
Right.
Other than the fact that when I do get on there, like, and Facebook's the worst. I don't even know if anybody's on Facebook anymore. But like, I don't, the amount of, and people always talk about the algorithm and copy and paste this message so you can get your algorithm back. It's so far gone at this point. Facebook, like, it's probably, I would say, 6 accounts or people or whatever that I don't follow for every one person I actually know and am actually friends with. It's, I mean, it's so diluted and so convoluted that it's like, I'm like, what am I even doing on
here? I know, same.
Facebook is,
there's only like a couple groups that are beneficial, like our neighborhood group.
Same. We have one for the kids' school.
Where I try not to adopt a cat every single day that needs a home.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So anyway, well, I am in favor. I'm in favor of the dislike button if it's on. But then what if somebody says something nice and then people are so anti-whatever?
Yeah, I think we, like, how about less judgment
on what?
Everything?
Let's just not,
like, we don't need to say, I like this or I don't like this. I'm against it, too. Like, we don't need to judge everything.
I'm against the dislike button.
Me, too.
I'm taking a stand.
Who are you to, like, why do I care about your opinion of my comment?
I know. You know what? I'm against this.
We're against the dislike button.
I am firmly against this.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do everything in my power to prevent the dislike button from infiltrating Instagram. You have my word, everyone listening.
You gonna run for office?
Yeah, duh. What office should I run for? Okay.
Oh my God.
Speaking of offices, speaking of politics and government and school vouchers, we went over this at the beginning and my heart rate shot up. We did have Texas Representative John McQueenie on the show last week to talk about the school voucher program. We're political idiots, whatever. We talked to him, asked him dumb questions. Not dumb questions. We asked questions from a perspective of people who don't really know anything about it and don't understand.
We have other interests in life.
We asked those questions. He answered them. And now it's time to ask someone else questions who doesn't feel like this is a good thing, which is what we are going to do right now in the TMG News Desk, brought to us by Community Mechanical and One Day Doors.
That's right. Community Mechanical
I did the wrong thing. I did the wrong color coding. Did you notice that? Did it throw you off? Because you need to talk about One Day Doors, because One Day Doors came to your house.
Yeah. They both say Julie, so that's why I'm confused.
Yep, you're right. And I didn't correct that right. So I'm talking about Community Mechanical, okay, because you actually had One Day Doors come to your house, sure, and you've got fancy doors with mirrors on them and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want to know what you're doing with those mirrors, but whatever. Nothing. In your bedroom.
Nothing.
Totally kidding. Okay, so first up, Community Mechanical. They offer a wide array of services to take care of your home needs. Preventative maintenance, they'll come to your house or business and do a full preventative maintenance in both the spring and the fall to make sure your HVAC is prepared for the extreme temperatures of summer and winter. Obviously, we know in North Texas, we get both of those, extreme cold, extreme heat. All preventative maintenance customers receive a 10% discount on all parts and services. They'll check in every 6 months, so you can take that off your plate. It's such a great service to have just to make sure your stuff's in order around the house. They can also do repairs and replacements, HVAC or refrigeration issues. They can design and build. If you're building a home, if you're a contractor looking for a company that will be your one-stop shop for all of your HVAC needs, that is Community Mechanical. They offer 0% financing, a soft credit pull, which means they check your credit, but it will not affect your credit negatively, which a lot of people are worried about. I know my husband is one of those. He was like, we are not doing no credit pulls. I'm like, okay, because they're worried it's going to ding their credit.
Right.
Community Mechanical does not do that. So you can call or text them at 469-667-7290, or you can do the form fill at communitydfw.com. If you do that form fill and you sign up for preventative maintenance, you will receive a TMG tumbler or t-shirt of your choice when you sign up for that preventative maintenance. Also, if you get a system replaced, if you buy a new HVAC system, you will be able to attend a Rangers Suite Night with Julie and I,
Yay!
A mom game Rangers Suite Night. So check out our friends at communitydfw.com. This is a service everyone needs, so you might as well do it with dudes who are doing business the right way, who support the mom game, and who are going to give you some free swag if you sign up and get a new HVAC system. communitydfw.com. 469-667-7290.
Yes. Now, a little bit about One Day Doors and Closets. Like Emily referenced, they did come into my house and they did replace a bunch of my doors. I'm going to have them come do the upstairs here in a while. They did the downstairs. And let me tell you, it is like night and day taking out those old doors that we had and putting in some new doors. They are solid wood now instead of hollow wood. And you don't realize how big of a difference it's going to make until it's done. One way that we've noticed a huge difference is just in the sound blocking. So we work at home, both of us do, my husband and I. And now with our new doors, we don't hear anything else going on in the house. So the dog barking at the door, anything else going on, we don't hear it when I'm on a call, that kind of thing. It's lovely. And then we did get some of those really cool double mirrored doors in the bedroom, which I use to take selfies. For ADM Media.
There you go.
Not for myself, but that's all that I use those mirrored doors for.
But there's so many options, Julie.
I'm sure there are.
Just kidding.
For teenagers that are into that kind of thing.
Okay.
20-year-olds. I don't know. 25-year-olds.
Back to
anyway,
One Day Doors.
Not me. But the whole process was very simple and easy. They can do this all in one day for you. They use advanced 3D measuring technology. They have one of those little guns, boop, 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 boop. And they come in, they measure your doors. They have them made specifically for you. They make a digital blueprint of your existing frames. They custom cut those doors to fit those frames. The doors are beautiful. I'm going to redo my kitchen here pretty soon. I love the way the doors look, so I'm actually going to kind of model my cabinets in the kitchen after those doors. It's the shaker look if you're a design person, and you know what that means. They typically save customers 30 to 50% compared to big box stores or handymen. The guys do a wonderful job. It's very painless, and they will save you money. The process typically starts with an in-home visit, or you can go visit their Louisville showroom. Phone number is 940-969-4790, or you can head over to onedaytexas.com/promo30 for buy one, get one free on doors. Buy one, get one free on your doors. onedaytexas.com/promo30. Check out our social media if you want to see the makeover at my house for our doors. And now It's time for our wonderful guest.
So we created quite the firestorm on the mom game last week when we had State Representative John McQueeny on to talk about Senate Bill 2, which is the school voucher program. Some people listened to the interview. Some people just saw a clip on social media and freaked the F out. So we, Julie and I, have forever maintained we are political idiots. We don't really dig the whole donkey elephant thing. But all of that to be said, people flipped out. I had always had the intention and wanted to get someone else to give the other side of the school voucher program on our show. It became quite apparent that that needed to be done sooner rather than later.
Did we only shoot one show a week?
Yes, one show a week. I didn't feel like we were ABC News or Fox News and needed to like schedule a debate and Julie and I could be the moderators. Like, that's a joke. So with that being said, we have an education analyst with us, Lynn Davenport, who was recommended to me by a friend. And you said, absolutely, I'll come on. And I am so grateful that you did. And I am so excited to ask you other questions, because, of course, we knew that John McQueeny, the state representative, is going to be, it's all going to be sunshine and roses on Senate Bill 2 and whatever the House does, all this school voucher shit. We're not idiots. But we need someone to educate us on the other side. And that's, Lynn, what you are here to do. And just kind of, you know, I guess, first of all, your background. How do you become an education analyst? How many kids do you have? And where do you fall in this whole process?
Then we'll get to the fun.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm a parent of kids who went through the public schools. So Richardson ISD is where they went. So I live in Dallas, but we're zoned for Richardson. And I became involved in what was happening in my kids' schools and ran for school board in 2017. And before that, I was trying to figure out how things got so bad, you know, with the testing and the stranglehold that the STAR test was having over the schools, and why, how it was affecting my own children. Mm. And so I went down the rabbit hole. Where did that come from? And then just started researching, and I realized there was a real void. People didn't really understand how we got here, but they knew we had a problem with the public schools. And so advocating at the local level, I started figuring out, oh, the state. So even though the local level, they're both victim and villain, the state is all villain. And the state has been run by the party that I affiliate with, the Republican Party, since Bush was in office as governor. And then he went on to, he was the one that got No Child Left Behind passed, which brought us the STAR test and the accountability system. So all of that came from my own party. And so when I went to the legislature, I started figuring out the game. So they're always saying, oh, it's the left, the left, the left. And you realize the right's in power, but they keep saying, oh, the Democrats and the Democrat chairs run everything. But really, the governor doesn't sign a bill that he – I mean, you can't get a bill passed and signed if you don't have the Republican governor's signature. So the buck stops with him. And he appointed the TEA commissioner, the head of the agency, and he's been there 9 years, Mike Morath. So that's all on Republican – on our watch.
Mm-hmm. Can I, before we get to the bill stuff, you mentioned the testing.
Yeah.
It's happening right now at our school, but it's like it's like fake testing.
Is it the MAP?
It's the the STAR. It's STAR testing, but it's like a fake
simulation.
Simulation. Mm-hmm. It's not even the real one. And I've got a little boy with a very anxious 9-year-old. Yep. And it's a thing. Like, criminal. He hasn't wanted to go to school. So it's just when you said that, it was like, I this morning am dealing with this. Yesterday morning dealing with this. Like, what did you?
Yeah, you're making me emotional, because my youngest is actually 21 years old now. He's in college, and so I have three kids that are adults now, so college and beyond, and a grandbaby. And my daughter-in-law is a public school teacher. So this is very near and dear to me, that what they've done to the children, the stranglehold of the STAR test, it's malpractice. It's educational malpractice. And my youngest would come home crying, and I'd be like, what is – he was a funny – you know, goofy third child, and he was changing. And I'm like, this is evil. What is this? Why are they locking down my school and holding them hostage? And they had to eat in their rooms. Mm-hmm. And no one could come.
No parent volunteers. No lunch with your kids. Like, right, that aren't testing.
I know. And so, or they'd make them read a book for hours while the other kids were still testing. Yep. And just awful what they were making the teachers do. And the teachers were leaving in droves because they don't want to do this to children. So they're finding other options. And I had teachers would come through this job ministry where I was working, and they'd say, I'll do anything but teach. I will drive Uber. I'll deliver pizza. And I thought, something's wrong. And then people who couldn't find a job, they were like, maybe I'll go into teaching. Okay, so you see this exit and then the entrance of people who aren't qualified. So I was like, the system was broken on purpose. And I say that all the time. People are like, what do you mean by that? It was broken on purpose to set up the accountability system, which is the STAR test. That's what we call it in our state, but every other state has to do it. And so all of this stuff rolls down from the federal level, which there's no constitutional justification for even having a Department of Education or a federal intrusion. But we have it, so how do we unravel it? Mm-hmm. So every biennium, the legislature will be like, oh, we're going to get rid of that STAR test. And we're going to, like, even last night I did a debate, and Nate Schatzline was like, we're going to get rid of the STAR test. I'm like, yeah, but what are you going to put in its place? Because they always have something worse behind it. Mm-hmm. So they'll celebrate, and it will be a Republican that says, ding dong, the witch is dead. You know, we got rid of the STAR test. Yay. And it'll be MAPS testing, which you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Or it'll be something else that's on a device. It'll be digital in nature because they've shifted us away from the old school way, you know, time tested way.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's been a slow boil, but we're so used to this. And if you say you don't want the STAR test, they're like, well, how are we going to have accountability?
This is accountability for the teachers,
no.
For the school.
No.
For,
I mean,
it's to get the funding. I'm trying to trace this back. Yeah. So who are we trying to hold accountable here?
Yeah. They'll say they want to hold the locals accountable, and they'll say that it helps the teachers understand where a student is, but the teacher doesn't get the results until sometimes the next year.
Right.
You can't, and it's not even specifically, oh, this child needs this in this area. Now, the MAPS testing in a lot of ways can do that, which is sort of a preliminary, that'll
show you where you rank amongst everybody mm-hmm. else in your grade and
simulation, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ours just did that. And then you get the results like a couple months later, and it shows you where your kid is and how much they've grown and mm-hmm. in the year, that kind of thing. But yeah, the STAR test, it just interesting. Everything you're saying is very interesting because that's what, you know, our kids mm-hmm. are going through right now. And I'm seeing it with a little guy who's already struggling. And having to try to explain to him, you know, why you have to do this and why you have to go to school and do this. And I know you're going to finish, but then you have to sit there and read a book, and he flies through these books, and then he doesn't know what to do. And then he's like, I can put my head on my desk or I can read a book, and I don't know what, can you come and get me? I'm like, I can't come and get you. You have to stay at school. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Anyway, it was just very interesting.
You can opt out, and the district will tell you that you can't, but you can, and you have the ultimate authority. And I think there should be a much stronger movement to opt out of the state assessment and starve them of that data on your child, because it's not relevant to you. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help the child. It actually harms them.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yes, I mean, that's a whole other show. Which,
right.
But, you know, I'm asking, so what's the problem that we're trying to solve here with the voucher? So if we're trying to escape the accountability system or whatever's happening in the public schools that's harming children, then why are we setting up a new government system? It's basically government-regulated school choice run through the same government that broke the system in the first place. And it's the same people who will be managing it. It's not a solution. Mm-hmm. So it's just pure deception.
Yeah. So I think, and that's, I mean, like at first glance, like I've talked about this with my friends, and I'm like, I mean, I have friends that go to private school, and I'm like, no offense, girl, but I'm not trying to pay for, you know, for Benny Boy's private school. And I mean, I told McQueenie that. I'm like, I'm sure your kids are great. Not really interested in paying for their private school as a taxpayer. So to me, it never made sense. I will say, when McQueenie came on, there were things about it that made sense from a broad perspective of, let's get some help for these kids that they don't fit in the public school setting, all that kind of stuff. So those things made sense. It didn't mean I support it at all, But at least it started to make a little bit of sense. But at the end of the day, it just comes back to, why would we not just pour as much funding as possible into our public school system rather than than pushing it toward the private sector? It just, it didn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. But what, when, so I remember the question. I thought it was a really good question. The deception comes through the buckets of funding. So the way that the public school finance system is set up, it's very difficult to follow. So they are pouring a lot of money into it every biennium with the legislature.
Okay,
every
what's
two,
a biennium?
Sorry, two, yeah, I'm going to say that. Two
sorry,
years. Sorry. No, I'm saying their terms. No, okay. Every 2 years,
okay,
they meet for the legislative session. And so every 2 years, they make these promises. And the promises are, we're gonna infuse all this money. And I think he used the term historic. Well, they used that term for House Bill 3 back in maybe the 86th session, years back. And they poured all this money in, but the money never makes its way to the teachers or the students. And some of that, you can blame the districts for some of that, because they do spend money on stupid things. And some districts are worse than others. But the basic funding for students has not gone up since before the pandemic. So the basic allotment that the schools get, just having the butts in the seats funding, has not been raised, has not gone up since before the pandemic. So the game is, oh, we're going to give you this and we're going to give you that. Well, they don't give it to them without strings or some sort of unfunded mandates. So like they will tell them, you have to do this, but we're not going to fund it. But we're going to give you all this money so that you can tie teacher pay to test scores. It always has these strings that make the system worse. And they spend more money on vendors and contracts and public-private partnerships and nonprofits. They spend on those things that are baked into the bill. The money doesn't get its way, does not make its way to the teachers and the students. So when your local public, your ISDs are claiming poor mouth, it's true and false, because they are starved at the basic allotment level. So it's like, say it's $40 a child per day. That's why they take the attendance, mm-hmm. and you have to mm-hmm. be at school or they won't get that money for your child. They tied it to attendance. Well, the other buckets are things like the bond debt. So they are spending a lot of money on shiny buildings and mm-hmm. shiny things that don't really change how we educate kids. So they're guilty of that. But in the end, the taxpayer gets screwed all directions. So we get screwed at the state level. We get screwed at the local level. So it's this big game that they play. So when they're pumping all this money in, the money has strings attached that don't benefit the locals. They actually just make the districts jump through more hoops and more hoops. And the end result is a much more difficult climate for the teachers and the students. And things get worse every year. We don't solve anything.
Well, okay, go ahead, Julie.
Well, you can go first. Mine's more of a broader.
Okay. Well, I mean, for me, it's like, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, it's growing up in a small town. We didn't even have private schools in Plainview. I think there might have been one with like 10 kids in it. It was just not even an option. And if you know, I don't know. I just felt, I don't know. It just feels strange to be like, yeah, here's, you know, $10,000 to go to a private school. Like, right. And I feel like the backlash has been really strong. Mm-hmm. To where, like, but what kind of control do we as voters have? I mean, this is how dumb I am.
No, they won't put it on the ballot. That's why you're confused, because you're like, well, where is it coming from? Now, it's been on the Republican primary ballot as a proposition, which that's not a law. It's just an opinion. Do you support the money following the child?
Got it.
So in the Republican Party in the primary, I mean, maybe 12% vote. I mean, most registered voters don't even vote. But the ones who did said that 79% of those people said that they support it. Well, so then they
So that's what he was talking about. Yeah.
Right. He's like, oh, the Republicans support this. Well, okay, some Republicans do, but the bills don't match what was on the proposition. Because the proposition was like, parents should have the choice to, you know,
school choice.
We have the choice. What they're talking about is money. They conflate choice with money. And what they mean is, we don't have the money and we want it to follow the child into their school of choice. Well, it doesn't. In the bills, the two bills we have now, because when McQueenie was on here, it was Senate Bill 2, but now they've added House Bill 3. So we have a bill in the House, and then, you know, the bills go back and forth, and they amend them, they do all these
reconcile
things. So the final result isn't what we're seeing now, but it'll be something close. So, but the bill doesn't match the Republican Party priorities or the plank that we have. We set these things at the Republican convention, and the will of the people says this is what we want. Well, the bills don't match that because the money doesn't follow the child into their school of choice. The money goes into a banking system set up by the government called an education savings account. So what he was talking about was education savings accounts as written in Senate Bill 2, but now it's also written into House Bill 3. And so the banking system that's set up through the comptroller and the Texas Education Agency, again, it's the same government that broke the system that we have, which we have to do based on Article 7 of the Constitution. We actually have to provide, it's mandated that we provide public free education. So people may not like that, but that's in the, that's constitutional that we provide for public free education, educates 5.4 million kids in Texas. The majority of our kids are in this system that they're wanting to abandon, even though they say that they're going to help us with it, they're not. And they want to create a new system. And he said at the time it was $1 billion and 100,000 kids that would get this. We're talking like 1%. So that the legislature spends all this energy on 1%.
So why?
Well, okay, so it's billionaire backed. So the, really, if you look behind the curtain, if you look at, and I haven't looked at McQueenie's donations, but I know that he was backed by those pushing school choice. So the governor unseated a bunch of people in his own party to push school choice, so because he wants the votes. He didn't get the votes last session. They've been trying this since Bush was governor. So now Abbott wants school choice, and his donors are people like Jeff Yass, the billionaire, the TikTok guy, investor. Mm-hmm. He's funding Texas elections through, yeah, he donated to the governor $10 million to push this agenda. So this is like a massive agenda going across the country. Texas is kind of like the, we're holding the line here. The rural Republicans are really the ones that have stopped this. And so the governor had to go after all of those seats. So he had to unseat people in, I forget who McQueenie unseated, but it was somebody, they have to have the votes for school choice. And so the governor goes after his own party to unseat the people so that he can get the votes for this one thing, this which is actually, yeah,
I don't get, okay, so why? that gas guy, like what's in this for him? Like, I'm so confused. Like, it's, there's so many layers. Funny. It's somehow so, they get, this is why I don't get into political shit, because I'm like, there's so many layers, I don't get it. And it, yeah. So how is that guy?
Are they
been?
Holding our children because hostage so they can else. Make money?
Right, like, but I'm
no,
like,
they're already rich.
Right, right.
It's far more sinister.
And here's another thing, like, I always tell people, like, the vast majority of my people, my friends who go to send their kids to private school, they're like, I'm not messing with the whole fucking application thing and tracking and all that system. Like, whatever. I mean, it's
because that's why you're in private. You don't want the government doing all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. And it's not even paying for, I mean, I don't know what private schools, what they run. The ones that I know of, you're minimum $20,000 minimum a year, minimum. And so it's like that, this isn't even going to pay for half of it. So like, even if there's an underprivileged kid that is not thriving in the public school system, if he can find a private school to take him with this voucher program, his family still has to come, his or her family still has to come up with the remaining $10,000 to $15,000. I mean, I don't know. That's what.
So you're making too much sense. See, all of that logic is exactly
right.
Where
and
you
this
should
is
be.
But who's benefiting from this? That's what I don't understand.
There are vendors in the bill. So there are certified educational assistance organizations. They're vendors who collect up to, in some states, 10%. So they sort of manage the banking scheme that I was talking about through the government. So the vendors get a cut of the deal. So say like you get $10,000, they'd get a percentage of it. So there are vendors pushing this, and they're pushing them in all 50 states. And I don't remember the numbers of how many states have passed this, but it's they really need Texas because Texas is so large.
Yeah.
If Texas goes, the nation goes. That's how it works.
Yeah, it's all too complicated for me. But on the surface, and it's like, I mean, it's not like we're changing our tone or our question line of questioning with a person
no,
a completely
no.
different perspective. It's just, it's not understanding. It's yeah. not understanding.
We don't understand.
No. And well, and I will
we
say,
don't understand
but
why.
I will say.
We don't understand why. Like, I understand right. the concept of what's happening, and we don't understand why it's happening.
I know. So it's a lot of it is access. So I believe that they want access to children that are off the grid or in the homeschools or the private schools. And so it's an access point to get all children in the system. So
what good does that do?
Well, because if you read the bill, it has all kinds of data. They call them longitudinal data systems. So it actually mandates that you can collect for no less than 5 years. They want to track the child from birth through the workplace. But in here, it doesn't say that. But that's they call it cradle to career. It's like a way to access the information on the child and track them through from.
And is that so they can figure out how to appeal to them so they'll vote for them? Like, I'm just trying to figure
out.
Why
do they want to track them?
No,
so they can put a chip in them.
I mean, there are people that want to do that. yes, but the politician on the ground, they just want to stay in office and stay in power, and so they're going to do whatever their master is telling them to do, or whatever the political, mm-hmm. you know, the landscape. That's how to fit in Austin. Is it, you go along with this, and so in order to stay in office and the governor not to come after you, you have to align with this. You also have special interests that are funding the candidates. And so they want this, but some just want the money. I mean, it's as simple as they just want the money. Others want access to the students. So there's different layers to there's different players for different reasons. So it's not, you can't point to one thing. I know that's clear as mud.
Yeah, I know, but I think I appreciate your honesty and your insight, but I think this is why I can't.
Why we stay away.
This is why, and
it's why politics are icky,
and I can't wrap my brain around it, because all you're saying, like, it makes sense, but I'm like, are they really going that fucking far to do this and get that? Like, that also doesn't make sense to me. I'm like.
Mm-hmm. Well, some want to just collapse the traditional public schools. There's that agenda. That's been happening for a long time. It's called privatization. That means they want to take the public dollars and put it into private hands. There are people that want to do that. There are private schools that like I know the Catholic lobby is always at the legislature saying, we want that money. We want school choice, because then we can not have to fundraise for our Catholic schools, and so they can take the government money instead of having to do all of that. I mean, the Catholic diocese lady told me that, and she came from Tennessee, where they have to take the state test if they take the money. I'm like, y'all are crazy. Why would you want to do that to your private schools that are off? You don't have to jump through any hoops.
Yeah.
And in these bills, they will require accreditation and all the things that the public schools have to do. They're going to make the private schools do the same things. And that's why we call them strings in these bills. And those strings are different for different bills. But
yeah, government's effed up.
Yeah, it's effed up. And so why would you eff up your private schools and your homeschools? And the homeschool coalitions are split. So you have two factions. One side, funded by a billionaire, wants the money. The other side doesn't. They're like, the Texans for Homeschool Freedom, they don't want the money. They don't even want it they know that if it happens, if it passes, it'll change the landscape of homeschooling. It will infringe on their freedoms like it did in Maine. They know that it's a very dangerous path. They don't want the government telling them how to educate or what to do. And so they'll say, oh, well, it's opt-in. You don't have to do it. Yes, but if they create the system and homeschoolers take advantage of it, it changes the landscape of the homeschooling in Texas. And we have the most free state for homeschoolers here.
Okay. So could we just like back up just a little bit? So with where we're at with this bill situation, could you explain when this might be getting passed?
Yes.
When might this be getting passed? See a difference in our schools, and what would that difference physically be to you and I and our kids that we would notice?
Okay, so they have a hearing for House Bill 3 on March 4th, and so the public can come and testify. They'll give you 2 minutes. They'll first invite the invited testimony from the people who, like Ed Choice, who actually does the vendor, the CEAOs I was telling you about. So there are they stack it with the special interest, and then the public goes after that.
Okay.
So keep that in mind. But
that's March 4th.
Yeah, it'll be all day. It'll be a long day because there's a lot of passion.
That's in Austin.
Yeah, and you can watch that virtually or you can show up in Austin.
Sounds awful. I know. Okay, go ahead.
It is. It's terrible. Okay. So then, but as far as like the final bill, what the governor signs, he said he will not sign a bill that does not have accountability measures, which means testing. So we know that final bill, it's not going to be a clean bill because the governor said he won't sign a clean bill. And by clean, meaning it's just a simple, I don't want it, but the people who do want it, they just want a tax credit or an exemption. They don't want to launder this through the government. They just want, just credit me for the money for my kid to go to private school and just don't stay out of my business. Mm-hmm. The governor will never sign a bill like that because there's too many special interests that want the bill laced with all the strings and the accountability. So then process. So it'll go back and forth, the House and Senate, before it actually has the final bill, and that'll happen all the way through. The session should be ending, I believe, around May or June. It's usually when he signs the bills is in June.
And so the House, the Senate has already approved Senate Bill 2, and then the House would have to approve House Bill 3, and then they'll marry those or reconcile those, and then it goes to the governor, and that's it. So we're out of this process as ordinary chicks.
If it passes, which I don't think that they have the votes, but you know, no one knows until the very end if they really have the votes to make this happen. And there are a lot of members who say they're on the fence, and some could flip, some might hold firm. We don't know. But if it passes, what does that do for us on the ground? So you will see a certain number of children fleeing the public schools to take this money, which will reduce the butts in the seats funding. But more importantly, we don't have the fiscal note on the bill. So the one that McQueenie was talking about was $1 billion. We don't have the fiscal note on the new bill. I don't know how much the bill is going to cost. It might be more than $1 billion. We don't have it. But they're offering up to $30,000 on House Bill 3. And the special needs kids get it first. So they have a tiered eligibility. It's not really universal. That's a misnomer.
Okay. Speaking of the special needs kids. So I have a girlfriend who has a special needs, who has a daughter with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, kick ass. No private schools are taking Charlotte with Down syndrome. There's not private schools out there that are taking. Charlotte needs to be, she's in a public school in Fort Worth, Overton Park Elementary. And mm-hmm. she's kind of breaking barriers, like, you know, and she's in a class. I mean, so Tara's like, yeah, that's good and great, because I didn't know that. And so after I did the interview, I was like, oh, well, you know, Charlotte's going to get, like, you know, kids with special needs, disabilities, they're going to get, you know, bumped to the top. And she's like, well, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, there's no private schools in Fort Worth that are going to, I mean, maybe one or two, but she's like, there's not a place for her. There's not. It's not like she can run on down to Country Day and they're going to take her. No.
Needs. And if they did, the child will no longer get their IDEA rights. So they have to forgo their rights under the law, which is a little dangerous, because then the schools are no longer held to the legal framework that's already in place that the public schools are supposed to follow. I'm not saying they do, but they have to forgo those rights if they take the money. If the private school took them, which most will not, they discriminate, and they can under, you know, that's their prerogative. So yes, that's an excellent point. Where are they going to go? Where are these kids going to go? And who's going to take them? They have to test in. They have certain parameters hoops they have to jump through to get into private school. That's an issue that.
And what, you know, private schools want to mess with this shit?
Well, they don't.
I mean, it seems like they've got their shit pretty dialed in. Like they
don't want any of it.
They're not hurting for, it doesn't seem like, I mean,
no.
Yeah.
The ones that I'm exposed to, they're doing just fine.
They don't want to have to jump through any hoops.
This is so confusing.
And again, what problem are we trying to solve? And it doesn't solve that. So you can take that money for your child with special needs, and you can do things on your own. Homeschoolers can school their, you know, they can educate their special needs child, and they can use those funds that they get through the ESA. But again, it makes them jump through the hoops that the parents, most homeschool parents, don't want to jump through those.
Kind of why they homeschool their kids, right?
That's right.
Okay. Mm. All right, what else you got, Julie?
Y'all are smarter than you get.
I don't know.
But we're trying to piece it all together.
Tired. It's so.
I mean, I will say.
I am thankful for people who do like research and shit because I don't.
It's a lot of.
It's a lot.
And I will say this. So by what you just explained, so there's this certain window of time and there's the hearing, there's the thing in Austin where people can go speak. So there's this certain window of time where people are gathering information and people are trying to speak their mind on this bill. And we're in that window of time. And we had somebody on who was very much in support of it. And that's why everybody had the reaction that they did. I'm starting to understand. People were very upset. And like Emily said, our intention was to always have, you know, show both sides of this situation. And we were never trying to prop up one side. Obviously, if you listen to us, we're not in support.
Your questions
were great. Not in support of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't
take it as that you were like propping up.
No, not at all.
People I just see a clip on social media.
But it just seems like when we heard, this is something a lot of people are passionate about, and you have an opportunity to speak with somebody that is in support of this, that is a part of this. Well, yeah, like let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. And I'm glad we did. It's been a roller coaster.
But I'm glad we did
because you know what? Like Emily and I do, we put up a. We don't know about like we let's talk about sports and there are things that are important that are worth digging into.
They are.
And like you did. Something pulled on your heartstrings with your own children and look at you. Yeah. Like it's amazing. And so, you know, it's awesome what you've done and I understand people's passion and their passion on our Instagram page. Like I get it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing this. You
don't mess with a mama and her kids.
You don't.
My
you
friend
don't.
Always says a father will die for his child and a mother will kill. I'm not suggesting it.
No.
I'm just saying when you see your child hurt, you're only as happy as your most miserable child. And so I don't know how many kids you have, but like the one who's suffering, the whole family suffers. It's terrible. And, you know, I got a lot of grief about putting my younger one in private school for 2 years, you know, as though I'm some hypocrite because I exercise choice. Well, we have the freedom to do that, but I would never do it with government money. And I would never put the private school in that situation. And I had to do it to remediate him from the system that they broke, that they imposed on my child. And so if they don't want us to flee this system, or maybe they do, that we've got to demand that they fix it. And I have solutions on fixing it. And it's a matter of auditing the TEA, which is the education agency where all the money is being laundered through, and then they fire the commissioner because he's failed for 9 years. And then you pay the teachers and you train them on the old school ways to learn to read and do math and science and history, you know, time-tested ways that you and I learned. And you pay the teachers and train them on that with the money saved on the wasteful technologies and testing vendors, because we find plenty of money for those things. We never find the money for the teachers and the resources in the classroom that they need. We should not have big class sizes. We should not have to beg for money. We should not have these teachers scrounging and using their own money. And that's on the district. The districts also have a choice to prioritize teachers. But the state level is absolutely the most egregious. What they do through bills every session, and we pay for it. And they will create a new lane of taxpayer-funded education. So we have public schools, charter schools. Now we're going to have vouchers and virtual and these ESA accounts that we're going to pay for that. Mm-hmm. We will absolutely pay for that because every year it will grow like it did in Arizona. It's going to break the budget. And the Abbott just thinks it's all just free money that we can just spend however we want. They're not conservative. These bills aren't conservative. And the conservatives are saying no. They make it a liberal versus – they'll try and call me Democrat.
So that was the question
you're liberal.
I had for,
you're Democrat. I'm like, okay, well, you look at my voting record. I was a precinct chair in the Republican Party trying to get voters to show up to the polls. I'm not a Democrat. My own senator, Don Huffines, called me a Democrat on Twitter. They try and disparage me, say I'm a Democrat. Well, the locals call me a radical Tea Partier when I run for school board. So what am I? I don't care what they say. I'm telling the truth. I read the bills. I can leave this with you. It's a crappy bill. It's terrible. It's 30-something pages.
You've done your homework on it.
It's a bad bill. Yeah. They're all bad bills. I've been reading them since 2016. I'm not making this up. They hate it. They come after me anyway. And with Families Engaged and Mary Lowe, they come after us all the time, trying to call us Democrats because we must align with the teachers' unions. No, that has nothing to do with it. These are bad bills, and they're not conservative. And the biggest weapon against this agenda is the conservatives going against it because
I know a lot of friends that are real conservative, they're big elephants. Like, I mean, we are elephant, and they're like, that's a hard no. Mm-hmm. And that's why I couldn't understand it. And that's part of the reason why I asked McQueenie to come on. I know him. I'm like, hey, explain this to me. Like, This seems, you know, help me out. And I mean, it's not like I'm saying I agree and believe in everything you say, I'm not saying that at all. Yeah. But I at least feel like I know more about what's going on. I feel like yours is way more complicated to understand. You know what I mean? As far as because of all the layers.
He kept it simple. He's like, we're going to do historic funding, $90 billion. Well, we're going to do all these A through F. We're going to give you the world. Let's do this voucher.
Right.
We're going to change the A through F system. Bullshit. They don't change it. Every biennium, they make it worse. I'm like, stop your bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Sick of it.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know. Good on you for like taking the time and trying to educating yourself. Like I said, I think there's a lot of moms and a lot of parents who feel like us. It's like, it's just too much. It's too much to understand. It's too much to make sense of. I don't feel like I can do shit about it anyway. Yeah. And so what do we do? And so I think a lot of people feel really helpless. They feel really uneducated about it. And so hopefully this provided, you know, we opened the forum to both sides of it. And hopefully the people can take, you know, whatever it is that they want from what McQueenie said and whatever you said. And that's all, you know, that's all we wanted to do. I mean,
exactly.
Well, you've done a great job at it. Seriously.
Well, I feel like when you come at it from a place of not knowing anything.
No, it's actually best because I'm so far in the weeds that, you know, my sister was like, can you give me like a simple paragraph?
Yeah.
Because I actually have my family's finally saying, what's going on with this? Because it's making the news.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, Lynn talks about that stuff. So now they're like, okay, I need to be able to articulate. And I'm not simple. I understand that.
Well, it's very convoluted.
They make it complicated. So in order to be a credible source, I have to go into the weeds that they do. But as a whole, you would not flee the government schools to accept government regulated school choice. Why? Mm-hmm. It's the same system that jacked it up in the first place. Why would we trust them to fix it with a voucher? It's not a solution. So let's get back to how do we solve it? Stop talking about school choice in the legislature. Let's actually fix it by addressing what bills that we have that we need to repeal. We've got to repeal bills, not new bills. We need to repeal bills, repeal all the crap that has come before the legislature.
It's so complicated. Mm-hmm.
And I actually have those. So
government, everything.
And I have a list of bills to repeal.
It's so complicated. Okay. Yeah. Well,
thanks.
So if people want, I mean, are you like available? Like people can ask you questions? Like how do people get in touch with you? Like, I don't know.
Familiesengaged.org, or you can go on Twitter, Lynn S. Davenport. And I am also on Facebook, Lynn Strawn Davenport.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Lynn, thank you.
Yeah, that was we learned a lot.
We did.
It served the purpose, which is what we wanted. We wanted to learn a lot about it. We wanted to show both sides about it. And all we are doing are we're moms trying to do the best for our kids, right?
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Okay. You all right?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm an empathetic crier. I felt you crying and I made you cry.
It's
horrible. You're living it.
Well, no.
We're in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's just a whole other conversation, right? It's like that helpless feeling. It's like...
It's awful.
When you think about the teachers, too, like...
Yeah.
They're in the middle of this, and that's what it comes down to. It's like
They're miserable.
Yeah, they're miserable, and you want your kids, when they're sitting there in a classroom, like, that's what matters, is what are the... Who's in there with your kids, and are they comfortable? Yeah. Are they learning? Are they taken care of?
It's terrible.
And that's why I think it just comes down to, like, God bless teachers, and...
Oh, my God.
And they hate... The way they go after teachers is so evil. They hate teachers. Because, you know, the libs of TikTok makes it look like every teacher is a purple-haired psycho.
Yeah.
To indoctrinate your kids and you know, sexually groom them.
Oof.
And that's purposeful because people, yeah, they respond to that like, ah, teachers are evil. And you're like, well, no, y'all.
On our little path, we've been very blessed so far. We've had wonderful teachers. Oh, and I just, I'm in our little world, that's all we can control. So I'm like, you know, each year.
I know. I'm sorry.
Just try to put good things into our little humans. And that's all we can do, right? And mad respect for
I know. Right.
Well, you're
guys. I know, like, enough of this. No more crying.
Honestly, it's the concept of our darn show. It's just hard, right? Like, and
it's so hard.
When you're a mom, you never know how you're going to react to things, and and it's a tough subject when you're talking about schools and kids and how it affects your kids and your family. So,
and it's okay to cry.
It's okay. Yeah.
What district are you in?
I'm in RISD. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So far, it's been really great for
us. I know. It really is. It could be the best district in the state. And I tried.
Yeah.
I tried to help them see. I was like, you're going to lose. It was 2017. I was like, you're going to lose teachers. And we were the highest attrition, like, turnover rate in the Metroplex at the time. And I was like, my kids, I would have one teacher. And then my younger kids wouldn't have that same teacher because that teacher would leave and go to another district. I'm like, y'all, what are you doing to these teachers? I mean, I just kept trying to solve the problems. Like, where is this coming from?
Yep.
Very frustrating.
Well, it's very apparent that we need some help in our educational system. Yep. It's not, it's a little broke and we need to fix it.
Well, thank you. So I don't know.
You're good. Nope, you're good. Still, but you got to come up to the mic. We end every show.
You can end the show with us. We're not going to kick you out.
No more crying. We're going to end on a positive note.
Unless you're trying.
We're going to end on a positive note. So at this cheesy as it is, at the end of every show, we throw up the double peace signs. We look into our camera and we say mom game out on the count of three.
We all do it. Mom game out.
We all do it. Everybody. One, two, three.
Mom game out.